Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord had been invited to dinner at the house of a very prominent Pharisee. The Pharisees, as the text says, were watching Jesus carefully, hoping that Jesus would slip up, do, or say something they would criticize him for. Their motive was always the same, to discredit him in the eyes of the people. In fact, the ruler of the Pharisees had probably invited Jesus for this very purpose. Well, Jesus was keeping a close eye on the Pharisees as well. He had observed how, as each Pharisee arrived, they wanted to sit as close as they could to this important Pharisee who was host of the dinner. You see, each craved the prestige of being seated near or next to him at the head of the table. So observing this self-aggrandizing behavior of wanting to appear important before others, Jesus would offer a parable. Our Lord says, when you are invited to a wedding feast, don't choose the place of honor for yourself, or you may be deeply embarrassed when a person more important than you arrives and the host asks you to give up your place for that person. Jesus continues, but whenever you are invited to such an occasion, take the lowest place so that the host may come to you and say, friend, move up closer, sit closer to me. And then you will be honored in the presence of all. I'd like to take this parable that our Lord used about seating protocol and extend it out a little further. I want you to imagine for a moment that you are the host and that life is this grand dinner reception. You are in charge of the seating chart. It will be up to you to determine who sits where. Before you begin this task, you ask, well, what's the dinner party for? Who is it honoring? For who you sit where will determine their prominence. For whoever or whatever you place first in your life is the one who will be seated at the head of the table. And this is who you honor with your life. And whoever is seated in the most prominent position will have an impact on where everyone else is seated. Now, if you are like most people in the world today, hosting life means hosting life in honor of yourself. As we suppose that we are supposed to have the highest place at the seat of our own table. By doing this, we make ourselves the guest of honor. The reception then will focus on you, because in the culture we live in, we have all come to believe that life is about us. Whatever other things consume our interest or our time or our attention, those are the guests who we will seat in special places of honor close to us at our table. However, if you are a Christian, you will take your cue from the first commandment, and your assigned seating chart will look much different than that of the world. For you will understand that it is only proper that we seat the triune God at the head of life's table. In fact, our whole life should be about loving and serving and honoring and obeying this triune God who created us and redeemed us to be his own, that we might live under him in his kingdom. Well, then it's easy, it's all settled. In this grand reception that we call life, our gracious God in Christ will be that special guest at our head table as the commandment requires. Since the first commandment requires you shall have no other gods, seating God at the very head and center of the table seems like a no-brainer to us Christians. Oh, if it were that simple. If it were not for sin, that would be our decision, to always place God first. But sin makes it more complicated than that, doesn't it? For some of the other people and things that we invite into our life to sit at our table compete with God for this place of honor. For instance, sin and temptation often will cause Christians to invite gossip and hatred and murder and lust and theft and adultery into their lives. And we will seat them at the same table with God. And God will not remain as the guest of honor for very long next to such unsavory guests. For the love of sinning soon will unseat God. It's like rudely asking God to leave, or at least to move down a bit on the list of importance at our table. Even wholesome people and things in our lives, things that God does not object to, if we give them too high a place at our table, we'll end up trying to take God's place at the table. To illustrate, loving others, we all know, is a good thing. But if in the name of love we surrender the teachings of Christ just to keep the affections of others, then we have mistaken love for our desire to be liked. For our love for others should be high on our list, but never higher than our love and obedience for God. If we begin to think of anything or anyone in our life as being more important than God, it's like going to the head of the table and shaming ourselves by awkwardly asking God if he would move down a few spots so that we might exalt other things above him in our lives. And perhaps nothing is more insulting to God than to say that he is the most important thing in our lives, but then to live as if he isn't. Nothing is more humiliating to God than to show up in our lives to find other guests seated in his place that we have intended to take his place. The law of God found in the first commandment rightly demands that we keep God in the highest place of importance and prominence in our lives. However, our sinful hearts are incapable of this. We hate to admit it, but we are often guilty, all of us, of putting other things first in our lives and of relegating God to a lower place at the table, if we remember him at all. My friends, it is only when you and I come to faith in Jesus Christ that God is restored to his rightful place. For only the innocent Son of God kept the first commandment perfectly and on our behalf. And only the Son of God suffered on the cross in full payment for our sins against the first commandment. For all of those times that you and I have dishonored God by bumping him down or off our guest list. God in the gospel did for us what none of us could do for ourselves by the demand of the law. For by the power of Christ's word and spirit, God has worked faith and forgiveness in our heart by the gospel that we are hearing preached. And so by trusting in Christ alone, by the Holy Spirit allowing us to put faith in Christ alone and focus on Him alone. God has been in Christ restored to that rightful spot at the head of the table. And aren't we thankful? Because as sinners, we screw that up so much. We get the guest list wrong. We put things in the wrong places. We can't keep our lives in balance. But by faith, suddenly all things are right. Certainly our husband or our wife should have a prominent place of honor at our table, as do our parents, who we love and respect throughout our lifetime. Children, too, have an important place at our table. And yet, as much as we love our spouse and our parents and our children, we must never give them God's place in our lives. For only God is worthy of that position as honored guest. Let me explain how we get this wrong sometimes with our children. As Christians, God wants us to have children, to love our children, to raise our children. But we are never to make our children the center of our universe, or to worship them as so many do these days. As Christians, parents, we must teach our children their place at the table under God instead of letting them rule over us. If it were left up to them, children would always demand the highest place in our lives. And again, please understand, my children, I consider an amazing gift and blessing from the Lord, and yet our affection for them must never get in the way of our love and obedience to God. What other things occupy a place at our table? What holds a place in our lives? Our epistle says money has a place in the Christian life. And yet the love of money has no place at the table. In the same way, owning private property and possessions has a place in the Christian's life. But the importance that we place on having these things should never be higher than our willingness to share and give away these things to others. In a similar vein, showing kindness and generosity to our friends has a legitimate place in our lives. But to freely and generously give to those who could never possibly repay us should have a much higher priority and deserves a greater place at our table. Human sexuality also has its place in our Christian life and at our table. In our epistle lesson from Hebrews chapter 13, we are reminded that sex is a gift from God, but only within the context of the covenant of marriage. Sex is sinful and wrong if we engage in it before marriage or outside of marriage or with someone other than our spouse or with someone of the same sex, which God's word says is inappropriate. The wrong kind of human sexuality has no place at your table. It's hard because our culture worships sexuality, but it also severs sex from God's intended purpose to strengthen the bond of marriage and for the procreation of children. And so sex outside of that Christian context offends God when He sits at the guest of honor at our table. God gave us this life. He wants us to enjoy this life, and that enjoyment of life certainly has a place at the table. And yet, as Christians, we should never cling to this life as if this life is all that there is. Today's reading from Hebrews says, we have no lasting city on this earth. We seek a city that is to come, not built by human hands, but by God Himself, eternal in the heavens. It's okay to love certain things about this life, and to be sad when we let them go. And yet the hope we have in Christ of the resurrection of our bodies on the last day should have such a higher place of importance than any short-lived pleasures we find in this life. Even self-congratulation has a place at the table. It's okay to feel good about yourself or a job well done, as long as you remember that your accomplishments pale in comparisons to the things that God does for you and through you. We should continually offer thanks and praise to God for the blessing in our lives instead of taking personal credit. For God even uses our own talents to bless us. But He is the one ultimately responsible for everything we enjoy and for all our successes. And so praise of God should be much closer to the head of the table than anything we might have to say about ourselves. We must exalt Christ and the salvation that He accomplished on the cross, because that is infinitely more important than all of our human accomplishments combined. And so while it's not wrong to think about yourself sometimes, putting God first and others second keeps our life in its proper order and balance. The balance God intended when He handed us the two tablets of commandments. And so God and others always need to be higher up on the guest list, occupying seats of honor higher than ourselves. In the same way, seeking acceptance from others has a place. But our unswerving allegiance to Jesus and our willingness to be counted as outsiders and suffer reproach from our society because we faithfully confess Him, that is so much more important and so much higher at the table than any social acceptance. I hope you're beginning to catch on. The guest list of those you invite to your dinner is really a metaphor for how we order and prioritize our life as Christians. We first read the Bible to understand what things have a place in our life and where they should go. And then we further discern what is merely permissible for a Christian and what is truly important to the Christian life. Much of the wisdom of living the Christian life is simply discerning that. What is permissible and what is absolutely vital. There is a huge difference between things that are permissible or acceptable in a Christian life and those things that are essential or exceptional to the Christian life. And every day we are presented with thousands of choices about how we will arrange these things, how we will use our time, how we will invest our energy, how we will focus our attention. As Christians, we realize that some of those choices are downright harmful to the faith. Others are relatively harmless, but also useless. But there are those fewer choices that are truly spiritually beneficial. For example, it's harmful to bear a grudge. We know that. It's harmless to talk to a friend unless we gossip. But it is truly helpful, says the book of Hebrews, to have our hearts strengthened by grace. We want that to have a higher place in our life, to find time to be strengthened on God's word and sacrament and the message of God's grace in Christ. When it comes to your seating chart, as you prepare for the great wedding feast that is to come, the teachings of Christ are essential. Everything should be determined based upon those. For example, when the doctrine that we are justified by faith in Christ, by grace alone and without our works, when that is given the most prominent seat beside God at the table, when we are sure that Christ has accomplished everything by his death and resurrection, and we are reconciled and restored to God, then it just seems like everything else in life will find the right seat to sit in at our table. I'm not telling you this because Jesus did not demand the most important seat. Jesus wins a place in our hearts because of his great love for us, because he came and took the lowest place. He humbled himself beyond belief, even unto death. Our Lord humbled himself. He was willing to move to the lowest seat in hell so that you might be exalted in God's sight to the highest place in heaven, so that you might participate in the wedding feast that will be dedicated to the Lamb in his kingdom when he comes. On the top of our guest list, we have Jesus, our only Redeemer, for he alone is worthy. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds, and order your life, and give godly priorities to it. Amen.